Okay, I'm going to read some scriptures to you. We're going to have the slide of the PowerPoint go up. It's just two slides today. This is the time of year when I sense people's great relief that they feel the holidays are sort of coming. And they think, well, you know, is it going to be good? Is it going to be a rest? Whatever. I also begin to get a little bit nervous spiritually because I somehow think that, mind you, we could say we've had a lot of rain, but I mean, let's not whinge, you know. But I sort of get a bit nervous because I think people, we start to get a little bit careless about our own walk with God. And this is when I start saying to people, just, you know, make sure Satan doesn't have a holiday. You know, and the darkness doesn't stop, and the darkness in me doesn't stop. So just let's be spiritually awake and alert as we're traveling. I'm going to read to you three short passages from Luke, and they're not going to come up unusually on the screen because, again, this week I'm going to read them from the Message. They all relate to Jesus sending people out because we're thinking about traveling light, about being sent into the world, but they actually come at two different stages in the ministry of Jesus. The first ones relate to Galilee, where everything is going relatively well, and the very last one starts to relate to Jesus talking to them at the Last Supper. And they're about the things that we should take with us on the journey. So first, I simply read to you from the Message the first six verses of Luke 9. Jesus now called the 12 and gave them authority and power to deal with all the demons and cure diseases. He commissioned them to preach the news of God's kingdom and heal the sick. He said, "Don't load yourselves up with equipment. Keep it simple. You are the equipment. And no luxury inns. Get a modest place and be content there until you leave. If you're not welcome, leave town. Don't make a scene. Shrug your shoulders and move on." Commissioned, they left. They traveled from town to town, telling the latest news of God, the Message, and curing people everywhere they went. And then the first 11 verses from chapter 10 of Luke. Later, the master selected 70, so the first lot were 12 of them, this is 70 or 72, and he sent them ahead of him in pairs to every town and place where he intended to go. He gave them this charge. "What a huge harvest, and how few the harvest hands. So on your knees, ask the God of the harvest to send the harvest hands. On your way, but be careful. This is hazardous work. You are like lambs in a wolf pack. Travel light, comb and toothbrush, and no extra luggage. Don't loiter and make small talk with everyone you meet along the way. When you enter a home, greet the family. Peace. If your greeting is received, then it's a good place to stay. But if it's not received, take it back and get out. Don't impose yourself." I think that's about all I wanted to go through on that one. Oh no, here you are. "Stay at one home, taking your meals there, for a worker deserves three square meals. Don't move from house to house, looking for the best cook in town. When you enter a town and are received, eat what they set before you. Heal anyone who is sick and tell them, 'God's kingdom is right on your doorstep.' When you enter a town and are not received, go out in the street and say, 'The only thing we got from you is the dirt on our feet, and we're giving it back. Did you have any idea that God's kingdom was right on your doorstep?'" And then the third passage comes later. It's Jesus speaking to them when things are really hotting up, from chapter 22, and I'm just going to read verses 35 to 38. "Then Jesus said, 'When I sent you out and told you to travel light, to take only the bare necessities, did you get along all right?' 'Certainly,' they said, 'we got along just fine.' He said, 'This is different. Get ready for trouble. Look to what you'll need. There are difficult times ahead. pawn your coat and get a sword. What was written in Scripture, he was lumped in with the criminals, gets its final meaning in me. Everything written about me is now coming to a conclusion. They said, look, Master, two swords. He said, enough of that. No more sword talk. And obviously you can read that in any translation you want, and it's quite helpful sometimes to read a different one just to jog your thinking a wee bit. Travelling Light, a story first of all. I'm reminded of the Olivers. Who can remember the Olivers? Right, some of you, a few of you. Okay. We were taking the Olivers to Gatwick Airport. Was it, Jeff? I don't know what you've been eating this week, but you're fasting the rest of the week. We were taking the Olivers to Gatwick Airport, so of course Jeff was excited because it's an airport and anything to do with planes. Our friends, Inez and Luther, were returning to Jamaica after more than 30 years living, raising their family in London. They were valued members of this church, and so Jeff and I were driving them to catch the plane. And most of their stuff was shipped in advance. And we'd visited them the night before in their tower block in Old Ford Road, which has since come down. It's not the one that's left, is it? It's one of the ones that came down. To see how much luggage would be taking on the day and checking that we could get it into Jeff's estate car. He had an estate car in those days. Everything was fine. So the next morning, we arrived at about 5 a.m. on the day of departure to find that the number of suitcases had doubled from the night before, and one of their relatives had decided to accompany us to the airport. So it's not just Nigerians that the luggage gets bigger. West Indians, obviously, as well. And also, they had this family relative, you know. There was just no way everything was going to fit into the car. So I sprinted back to the house, borrowed another car, you know, hoping there was enough petrol in it. And the luggage, extra luggage, and the relative and me, you know, we came in convoy behind Jeff and the Olivers. Needless to say, of course, in dropping them off at Gatwick Airport, Jeff managed to get parking tickets only because I pushed him out of the way and ran to the other car first as we were downloading the stuff. We didn't travel light. They weren't travelling light. And even if they were, their relatives had plenty of little extra parcels for them to take on the journey. You know what it's like. So travelling light, how are we getting on our pilgrimage, our journey in planet Earth at the moment? Now, most of us admit that if ever we have to try and decorate a room or whatever, there's so much stuff in it, you know, it's just crazy. We rarely travel light, but also we have so much in our minds that we rarely travel light spiritually. The Gospels tell us on several occasions that Jesus, when he called people to him, he spoke to them, he called them to follow him, and he spoke to them about various things they would need to leave behind, but what they needed to do was pick up their cross every day to be prepared to die to self. But often they had problems. There were loads of things that they didn't want to leave behind. And Luke, in his gospel, tells us about Jesus' instructions, as we've heard, to the disciples as he sends them out into the world. Early on in their training, he sends 12 of them out, and then 70 or 72, to tell the good news and to call other people to follow him. And this also included praying for others. As Aggie said, what can I give? What can I do? I'm visiting Lisbon. What do I do? Praying for others, praying for their healing, and telling them the kingdom of God is right here on your doorstep because we're representatives of Jesus, and Jesus is bringing in the kingdom of God. And he told them how little they should take. How little they should take. He told them that they were going out like sheep among wolves, so it was going to be, even in their daily lives, dangerous, and that they needed to be as shrewd as snakes and innocent as doves. So not just streetwise, but worldly wise and spiritually wise. He told them to be aware of those people who would report them to the synagogue leaders. Be aware of them. And he spoke to them about the spiritual authority that they had to do this, because they felt totally inadequate, as Aggie said, just felt inadequate. And God said, well, look and see how it is. You have the Holy Spirit. He spoke to them about the authority they had to do this, that God had commanded them, commissioned them to do it. So in Luke 9, we read about spiritual authority to pray for healing and deliverance and to preach the good news. This was in Galilee. Things were not too difficult at this stage. They were going out on short trips, but later, of course, he was commissioning for every day of their lives, 365 days a year, 24/7, to go out. And he says to them very clearly, take nothing for the journey. And as you know, the Hebrew idiomatic way of speaking was to use these very bold statements. He says, take nothing for the journey. You are the equipment. You are the message. It is your story that you are to take, is what he's saying. And he spells out what this means. He says, you don't take a staff. Well, everybody took a staff because you needed it to walk with, or you needed it to fight off potential robbers, you needed it to do all sorts of useful things, you know, that you do with staffs. And no bag. It may well be that the word that's used, pera, he's saying you don't take a beggar's bag, because some people made quite a good living with a beggar's bag. He said you don't take a bag with you, you take no money, no extra tunic. So he's saying you go as you are. And this has partly a literal meaning, but also a spiritual meaning as well. And he told them about finding places to stay. In simple words, he was saying you are reliant on God and you are reliant on the hospitality of those you meet who will welcome you into their homes. And that's how we go into the world. But very often we want to think, well, what's my cash flow? Have I got any more in the bank? Is the freezer full? And etc. But he says, you are to live in this way, reliance on God and the hospitality of those that you meet. They were not sent out to beg, but to ask God for daily bread and to receive it freely from those who offered hospitality. Could we see the next slide? And it's the one that we'll go with. This is the idea of travelling light. Sorry, it's slightly weirdly out of focus. There will be a reason for that. And then a lady wearing the slogan, Peace Pilgrim. And we've mentioned this lady before. She's an interesting woman because she walked 25,000 miles in North America on her personal pilgrimage. When she retired, she was so concerned about the state of the world, the lack of peace. And instead of saying she was going to pray just for world peace, she did it as she walked. It's a great way to pray and walked. And she said she would remain a wanderer until mankind had learned the way of peace. And she would walk until she was given shelter, and she would fast until she was given food. And she walked for 28 years telling her story. And you can Google her, Peace Pilgrim. And she lived from 1908 to 1981. Peace Pilgrim was the name that she wanted to go by. And she travelled light, as you can see. In Luke 10, Jesus reiterates as he sends out the 70, the 72, that they're going as sheep among wolves. The world is a tough place. Do not take a purse, a beggar's bag, or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. And Jesus is illustrating the point, not that they're to go barefooted necessarily, but that they are to go with the right attitude and reliance and relying on God and the hospitality that they would receive. Jesus is illustrating the fact also that they're not to be diverted, not to be caught up in conversations on the way if it diverts them from their primary task. And that often happens in our lives, doesn't it? We know God has called us to do certain things and then we are diverted very quickly away from the task. And personalise this. Think how it relates to you as God calls you to follow him, as God calls you to go out into the world to share the news of the kingdom of God, even today and tomorrow, and to pray for other people, to listen to other people, to hear their stories, to tell your story. He's saying to them, you are to travel light. No cumbersome physical burdens, but also, as we shall see, I hope, next week when Jeff speaks, not carrying all of those anxieties that we carry and that we're told to lay down, so that we actually go light into the pilgrimage, that we wait with God until we have shared our concerns, our anxieties with God and with others, so that those things are shared. We need God's protection. We need God's provision. That's how we go into the world every single day. We literally do not know and what that day will bring. But it's a time of great expectation and challenge as we awake each day. Jesus speaks about entering houses where people invite them in, as this woman did. If she was offered shelter, she would accept it. If she was offered food, she would break her fast. And as we are welcomed by different people, and I have the tremendous privilege of going into so many people's homes, and I have the privilege, Jeff and I, of welcoming people into our home, then as we go into homes where we are welcomed, we are to give a blessing of peace. Salam alaikum. Shalom. Peace. We are to give a blessing of peace. As we deliver the leaflets to the houses we go to, the very least we say is the peace of God be on this house as we put it through the letterbox. May the peace of God be here. This was a greeting in the Middle East, but it's a worldwide greeting. Peace be on this house. Speak it out loud if the people will be blessed by it. Speak it quietly or in your hearts if it's going to cause a disturbance. Later, Paul writes to the Ephesians when he talks about going into the world, which is a spiritual battle, but he talks about being ready with our feet shod, ready to share the gospel of peace. We're not going out on a crusade, and that world cannot be used at all in our religious language, and when we talk about meetings, it is totally inappropriate. We are going out to share the peace and the love of God. Our feet are shod, ready to share the gospel of peace. Are we ready? Some of us are on tiptoe and share it too quickly before people want to hear it. But are we ready to share the gospel of peace? Because that is what we need to hear in this world. The gospel of peace. And it is peace through Jesus Christ. Peace with God through Jesus Christ. But it is also that longing of peace between human beings that we pray, whether or not people receive Jesus, that we long for peace with our brothers and sisters. God's news of peace, not warfare, to the people we meet. We are not sent out to destroy cultures and civilizations, but to bring a message of peace through Jesus Christ to all people. So why is there this strange mention in Luke 22 about taking or buying a sword, which seems so strange? It seems totally different from what has been said before. Some Muslims have even said that Jesus is saying to Christians that they should take up the sword. But Jesus is not telling his disciples, you and me, if we're disciples of Jesus, to buy weapons for our personal protection. You will be relieved to know that, I hope. He has clearly taught his disciples then, the 3 years he was with them, and us, but repeatedly, and we can look at the Sermons on the Mount, to turn the other cheek when violence is used, and not to strike back. So it is strange. But if we look at the context of this passage in Luke 22, we see that Jesus is actually quoting from Isaiah chapter 53. And he's talking about the fact that he is fulfilling all prophecy. And he's even fulfilling those prophecies that were given in Isaiah. And he actually quotes in verse 37 of chapter 22 of Luke, "He is numbered with the transgressors." And he's speaking here about how he fulfills prophecy, how he has numbered with the transgressors. We know that some of his disciples did carry swords. We know that he wasn't happy with that. They say, we've got two swords. Well, two swords for 11 men against many people is utterly useless. But it is good enough cause to label Jesus as leader of a band of brigands. And so he is numbered with the transgressors. He had people that carried a sword with him. See, Lord, here are two swords, say the disciples. That's enough, says Jesus. Not meaning they don't need to go and buy any more. What he's saying, he doesn't want to. Stop that sword talk. I am not sending you out with swords. And this quoting from Isaiah is the only explanation that makes sense, that Jesus is making the point to them that he is numbered with the transgressors, but he doesn't want to talk to them about using swords. And in fact, you remember Peter sliced off the ear of Malchus, the high priest's servant, and Jesus rebukes him and heals the ear. Jesus was numbered as a transgressor, a leader of rebels, but he did not lead his people into battle. He did not go in front of an army at all, but he commanded them to go in peace and in love. This is a reminder as well to you and to me that you may also be numbered with the transgressors. We must be prepared to be seen as those who challenge things that the state and religion imposes that are unjust. The time may come when your actions are considered to be criminal, when you are counted among the transgressors, as Jesus was. We may, at the very least, be labelled as troublemakers because of our following Jesus. I think that's the explanation of what's used there, but I think also there is a figurative use of the word sword. We don't need literal swords. We shouldn't carry literal swords. We shouldn't carry knives. We shouldn't carry guns as God's people. But we do need that spiritual sword, the word of God, with us. We need the discernment that the word gives us. And that was why Jesus was so successful in using the word of God, because he could discern what God was saying. So Aggie said in his prayers, what are you saying, God, in this situation? And it is with God's word, not to bash people so much as maybe to rebuke and say that's not what it means, but it is very much the discernment that we need. We do need that spiritual protection as we go out. Which certainly doesn't mean, as far as I'm concerned, that we should ever carry arms. So in Luke 22, by the time Jesus is speaking to them at the Last Supper, the situation has become more threatening. He's about to be arrested, but he doesn't say, go and hide. He prepares them, after they've received the Holy Spirit, to go into all the world. He reminds them that they lacked nothing when he sent them out traveling light. As a man who, with his wives, opened up the whole of inland China and used to sit in this church building, said, God's work done God's way will never lack God's supply. You know, of course, who that was. One of my heroes, James Hudson Taylor. And we will never lack what is needed to do God's work God's way. He's warning them, though, that one day they may leave home, never to return. So take with them purse or bag, have their spiritual sword, because they too will be numbered among the transgressors. And this has been true and is still true for many Christians in various parts of the world today, that they are numbered amongst the transgressors and they are punished for their faith, separated from their children, imprisoned or hospitalized, made destitute for their faith, executed in some cases. So Jesus is telling us that we are now to become again the pilgrim people of God, the people who are following God into the world, dispersed, sometimes settled, moving on, tabernacle, tent people. And we need a certain frame of mind, and that's what Jesus is saying to us. What is your frame of mind? What is your heart? Are you a pilgrim people in the sense that you will pursue God? And the pilgrim pursued God. They looked for a city whose builder and maker is God. They were looking for the promised land being made on earth, the new heaven and the new earth. Is this where our heart is? Or do we load ourselves up with so many cares and anxieties, but also so many possessions, that we can't travel light? I do not see why people need to have dozens of houses. I do not see, really, I'll be perfectly honest, why people have to have dozens of televisions and dozens of cars. But each of us must answer to God. The people in exile, remember, way, way back in the Old Testament, were told to build houses and settle down in Jeremiah 29. And we are in some ways exiles on planet Earth. This is temporary, permanent. But we're also sent out every day. You and me are sent out as sheep among wolves to other people to share the news of Jesus. Sometimes we're welcomed by people into their homes, people of other faith, people of no faith, and it is always a blessing, isn't it? You know, it's such a privilege. And if our message is welcomed, we rejoice. And Jesus is so clear in sending out true disciples that we are to make other disciples. We are en route. We're on pilgrimage, you and me. We need to travel light, engaging with the world, but not restricted and tied permanently into things that limit what Jesus has called us to do. And it is so easy to do that. In fact, we have to take conscious decisions about the hours that we work and the time we spend on different things. We have to think carefully. Only you today can honestly answer God as to whether you're traveling light or you've become too much a part of the things that obscure the truth. I have to have regular clear outs, I don't know about you, that I find you get so into the pace of life and the way of life that you suddenly find you're weighted down and you're not traveling light. There is not that inner peace and that walking with God. We need to be regularly in relationship. Surely we're called to a simplicity of living in this very complex world. This world is complex, isn't it? Family relationships are complex. Politics are complex. The world is complex. But we need a simplicity, which is far from being stupid. In simplicity, there is wisdom, so that we will travel light. And what would that look like? That's what I would like you to think about through this week, because we're looking at this again next week. What would it look like to live in simplicity, to travel light? What would our priorities be if we were living and traveling light so that we were available to God? Would you try and think about that through the week? What would it look like to travel light in simplicity? What would our priorities be? And how could we preserve those priorities? How could we make it happen? And with whom? Let's be still. Our time has gone, but I'd like us to give just God the Spirit courtesy just to be still for a couple of minutes, just to listen, so no one to speak, but just in our inner selves, which is where that simplicity starts. Let's just be calm in our inner self, focus on Jesus. Neil's just bringing us a word which I bring to you just to weigh. I think this, if I may just put a little caveat in after, but it says, it is for the head of each household and each individual to listen to me and obey. So that covers all of us. It is for the head of each household and each individual to listen to me and obey. So disciples of Jesus, just listen to God, weigh that, where you hold responsibility in household, then hold that. Each of us has responsibility as well, whether we live singly or with others. Perhaps you have responsibility in the workplace. Listen to me and obey. Does anybody else have anything they feel they should share just before we draw to a close? The reason I like the word is not one of us is let off the hook, in the sense that God wants us to listen, to obey. God is concerned for our good, but God is also concerned for those who do not yet know him. Lord, we cry to you, that we may learn to listen to your voice, that we may have greater discernment through your Holy Spirit, and that our hearts would delight in pleasing you and obeying you. Enable us to hear you this week as we think about what it means to travel light in simplicity and what our priorities will be. In your name, Lord. Amen. And Neil's going to bring us a song.